Thank you, Brother Alvin. Good evening, brothers and sisters. This is not the smallest group I've ever talked to, but, and of course, we don't know how many's out there on live stream, but whatever it is, we want to share our hope and our love for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I suppose that you might category or name a sermon tonight, The Kingdom of Heaven. But I want to start with 10th chapter of John and the 7th verse. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in him, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for his sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and have no one of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even now, so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life for that I might take it again. No man taketh from me, but I lay it down of myself. And have power to lay it down, and have power to take it up again. This is the commandment I have received of my Father. When Christ began his ministry, actually, we know that John was the one crying in the wilderness to prepare the way and make his path straight. But in Matthew, the 3rd chapter and the 2nd verse, in those days, John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And also in the 4th chapter of Matthew, when Christ began his ministry, in the 17th verse, maybe you start with the 13th verse. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast and the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. And that from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then Jesus went through the Sea of Galilee and started calling his apostles. Now we want to go to Acts 23, second chapter of Acts. By the way, if I'm not talking loud enough, just whistle or something, because, you know, hearing aids are fine, but they don't make it so you can understand others too well, and also it makes my voice sound louder to me than it does to you. So I don't want to scream at you, but I want you to hear me while I'm saying it, if I can. Second chapter of Acts and 37th verse. This is the time when what was called the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost was given to the people. And we know what happened there, that the Spirit fell upon the people and they prophesied and things like this. And there was a great contention, and some people thought they was drunk because of the unusual things they were seeing. But Peter stood up and said, and told them that this was Jesus, the Spirit was Jesus Christ had promised them. I'll start with the 22nd verse. "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, ye yourselves also know. Him also delivered up by determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, that ye have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain, who God hath raised up and hath loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding it. For David speaketh concerning him, I saw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." And then it's on the 32nd verse, "And this Jesus hath God raised up, therefore we all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth that which we now see here. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he saith himself, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And he said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and every one, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together, and they had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, and every man as they needed. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having fear of all people. And the Lord add to the church daily as should be saved. Now I want to go to the fourth Nephi. Now, I think we're all well aware that after Jesus was crucified and resurrected, he came to this land in the ending of the 34th year, and he preached the same gospel to these people here upon this land that he did in Jerusalem. And they were told that they were the ones that he spoke of there. I read in 10th chapter of John that said that the other sheep I have which are not of this fold, and them also must bring, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And he came here and he taught them the same gospel. And it was recorded. And following that we might go back into the 13th chapter of the 3rd Nephi. Let's see, where should I start? Well, anyway, we'll start with the fourth book, and Christ established a church here, and he called his 12 apostles, and then he preached to them and worked with them for 3 days, and then he left them. He came back later on, and because they had asked, they needed to know what to call the church, and he told them that it would be called in his name, and because it was his church. And if it was called in his name, and if it was taught his gospel, then it was his church. And in going into the fourth book of Nephi, by this time, many of the apostles or the chose had died, and it was in the, they hadn't, but then I hadn't died yet at this time, because it's only about the year 34 to 36. But starting in the 13th verse of the first chapter of 4th Nephi, and they did not walk anymore after the performance of the ordinance of the law of Moses, but they did walk after the commandments which they received from their Lord and their God, continuing fasting and prayer, and meeting together oft to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. And it came to pass that there was no contentions among all the people and all the land, but there were mighty miracles wrought among the disciples of Jesus. And it came to pass that in the 70, the first year had passed away, and also the 70, the second year, and in fine until the 70th ninth year had passed away, yea, even till 100 years had passed away, and the disciples of Jesus, whom he had chosen, had all gone to the paradise of God, save it were the three who should tarry. And I think we're all aware that there was three of the apostles that he had chosen, chose the same desire that John, the beloved, did, that they would remain on the earth as long as time lasts, that they might continue the work for him, for God. And so all of the other nine passed away, except these three. And said there was other disciples ordained in their stead, and as many as were of that generation had passed away. And it came to pass there was no contentions in the land, because the love of God was to dwell in the hearts of the people. And there were no enderings, nor strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lyings, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. And sure there could not be a happier people among all the people who had been created by the hand of God. And there were no robbers, nor murderers, nor were there Lamanites, nor any manner of ites, but they were all one in the children of Christ, and heirs of the kingdom of God. And how blessed were they, for the Lord did bless them in all their doings, yea, even they were blessed and prospered until the 110th year had passed away, and the first generation of Christ had passed away, and there was no contentions of all the land. And it came to pass that Nephi, he that kept the last record, he kept it upon the place of Nephi, died, and the son of Amos took it in his stead, and he kept it upon the place of Nephi. When Christ came, and when John, he said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He was not talking about eternity. He was talking about a condition here now among his people. And this writing here in 4th Nephi tells us exactly what that condition was like. They didn't have to wait until eternity, or until they were resurrected again. Christ said back there in John that he came that he might have life and he might have it more abundantly. And this is what he's talking about. A time when there'd be no contention in all the land. No lyings, murders, priestcrafts, whoredoms, or any manner of ites or things like this. But, you know, this happened other times as well. If we would go to Mosiah, the first chapter, and Mosiah, you know, of course, this reading I'm going to read to you is King Benjamin's time, who was the father of Messiah. And Messiah the first, 86. This is some of the proclamation of King Benjamin to his people. O all ye old men, and also ye young men, and ye little children who can understand my words, for I have spoken plain unto you that you might understand. I pray that you should wake the remembrance of the awful situation of those who have fallen into transgression. And moreover, I would desire that ye should consider on the blessed and happy state of those that kept the commandments of God. For behold, they were blessed in all things, both temporally and spiritually. And they did hold out faithful unto the end, and they were received into heaven, and that thereby they may dwell with God in the state of never-ending happiness. Oh, remember that these things are true, for the Lord God has spoken it. And again, my brethren, I would tell you, call your attention, for I have somewhat more to speak unto you. For behold, I have things to tell you concerning that which is to come. The things which I tell you are made known unto me by an angel of God. And he said unto me, Awake. And I woke and beheld, and he stood before me. And he said to me, Awake and hear the words which I shall tell thee. For behold, I am come to declare unto thee glad tidings of great joy. For the Lord God hath heard thy prayers, and hath judged thy righteousness, and sent me to declare unto thee that thou mightest rejoice, and that thou might declare unto thy people, that they might also be filled with joy. For behold, the time cometh, it is not far distant, that the power of the Lord omnipotent, who reigneth, and who was, and from all eternity to all eternity, shall come down from heaven among the children of men, and shall dwell in a tabernacle of clay. And shall go forth among the men, doing mighty miracles, such as healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the lame to walk, the blind to receive their sight, and the deaf to hear, and the curing of all manner of diseases. And he shall cast out devils and the evil spirits which dwell in the hearts of the children of men. And though he will suffer temptations and pain of body, hunger, thirst, fatigue, even more than man can suffer except unto death. Behold, blood cometh from every pore, so great shall be the anguish of his for the wickedness of the abomination of his people. And he shall be called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and earth, the creator of all things from the beginning, and his mother name shall be called Mary. And though he cometh unto his own, that salvation might come unto his children men, even through faith on his name. It told you there that he suffered great afflictions, and he, where was I read that? For behold, blood cometh from every pore, so great shall be his anguish for the wickedness and abomination of his people. And we know that the Bible records that on the Mount of Olives before his crucifixion, he did wept great drops of blood of the tears, and it dripped down to the earth. And so he did suffer, not just because of pain, but he suffered because of the temptations and the wickedness of the people that would do the things that they were doing. But he came, as it said here, to bring salvation to his people, and to bring happiness and joy. That was about 124 years before Christ came that King Benjamin made this statement. Now in about 72 BC, in the days of Alma, before I go there, to go back and bring him to this point, King Benjamin had taught his people, he had brought about a righteous condition among them, and he taught them how to behave and to treat each other right and to put away all of the evils that are among them. And that brought about, because of what he said that the angel told him here, he brought about a condition among his people which was indeed a blessing. Can I say it was a kingdom of heaven? It was nigh unto it, at least. But in 22nd chapter of Alma, and starting with the 17th verse, Maybe go back to the 16th. And they also began in that same year to build many cities on the north, one in particular manner, which they called Lehi, which was the north by the borders of the seashore, and thus ended the 20th year. And that's the 20th year of the judges. In those prosperous circumstances were the people of Nephi, and in the commencement of the 21st year of the reign of the judges over the people of Nephi, and they did prosper exceedingly, and they became exceeding rich, yea, even they did multiply and make strong in the land. I might go back and bring us up to this point. This is Alma here is speaking. It's this Alma, the son of Alma, and he established, we realized that his people was dwindling in unbelief, and so he was the chief judge and also the chief priest. And so he relinquished the judgment seat to another man, and he went out to preach unto his people, and he brought about this condition of righteousness among his people by his preaching unto them. And they did prosper exceedingly, and they became exceeding rich, yea, and they did multiply and wax strong in the land. And thus we see how merciful and just were all the dealings with the Lord, of the Lord, and the fulfilling of all his words unto the children of men. And we can behold that his words were verified even at the death's time, when he spake unto Lehi, saying, Blessed art thou and thy children, for they shall be blessed, inasmuch as they shall keep my commandments, and they shall prosper in the land. But remember, inasmuch as they shall not keep my commandments, they shall be cut off from the presence of the Lord. And we see that these promises have been verified to the people of Nephi, for it has been their quarrelings and their contentions, yea, their murderings and their plunderings and their idolatry and their whoredoms and their abominations which were among themselves, which brought upon them their wars and their destruction. And those who were faithful in keeping the commandments of the Lord were delivered at all times, while thousands of the wicked and wicked brethren were being consigned to bondage or to perish by the sword or to dwell in unbelief and mingled with the Lamanites. But behold, there were never a happier people, there were never a happier time among the people of Nephi since the days of Nephi, when the days of Moroni, yea, even to this time in the 21st year of the judges. It came to pass in the 22nd year of the reign of the judges, it ended in peace, and also in the 23rd year. And it came to pass in the commencement of the 24th year of the reign of the judges, there would also have been peace among the people of Nephi, had it not been for a contention which took place among them concerning the land of Nephi and the land of Moranton, which joined upon the borders of Lehi, both of which were on the borders of the sea. For behold, the people who possessed the land of Moranton did claim part of the land of Lehi. Therefore, there began to be warm contentions among them, insomuch that the people of Moranton took up arms against their brethren, and they were determined by the sword to slay them. My point is that any time that the word of God is kept and the people lived according to the time, they had this condition, which was happy. They had no contentions or strifes. And even as I would have read farther over there in 4th Nephi, there soon became, let me go back and we'll bring you up to date on that one. Starting with verse 29 in the first chapter, 4th Nephi. It came to pass that when 210 years had passed away, there were many churches in the land. Yea, there were many churches which professed to know Christ, and yet they deny the more part of the gospel, insomuch that they did receive all manner of wickedness, and did minister that which was sacred unto them to whom it was forbidden because of unworthiness. And this church did multiply exceedingly because of the iniquity and because of the power of Satan, who did get hold of their hearts. And again, there was another church which denied the Christ, and they persecute the true church of Christ because of their humility and their belief in Christ, and they despise them because of the many miracles which were wrought among them. Therefore, they did exercise power and authority over the disciples of Jesus, who did tarry with them, and they did cast them into prison. But by the power of the word of God, which was in them, the prisons were rent in twain, and they were went forth mighty miracles among them. Nevertheless, and notwithstanding in these miracles, the people did harden their hearts and did seek to kill them, even as the Jews at Jerusalem did seek to kill Jesus according to their word. They cast into the furnace of fire, and they came forth receiving no harm, and they did cast them into dens of wild beasts, and they did play with the wild beasts, even the child with the lamb. And they come forth from among them receiving no harm. Never the peaceful did harden their hearts, for they were led by the many priests and false prophets to build up churches and to do all manner of iniquity. It came to the happy condition, came to an end about 200 years after Christ. Why? It tells you, because people begin to build up churches of their own, and that they brought about this condition of enmity and strife and persecution. But all through the ages of time, whenever the people began to believe in Christ, even before he came into the world, then because of the teachings of Christ, they had peace. They had the joys and the happiness of the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 23 and 23rd verse, this 23rd chapter of Matthew is Christ talking to the people, and he was berating the scribes and the Pharisees that said in Moses' seeds that it said. And down in the 23rd verse it said, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe and mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. These ought you to have done and not left the other undone." You bind guides with strain and a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within ye are full of extortions and excess. He might say this doesn't sound like Jesus, but he did not pull any punches, shall we say, with the what he called the scribes and the Pharisees, because, as he said, they profess to keep the law of Moses, but yet inside the Spirit of God is not there, and they do all manner of wickedness. But my point is that we know, we have talked many times about we have received the blessings of God if we pay our tithing. And, of course, before that, he said that, you know, you pay a tithe of your mint and your anise and your cumin, which is some of the ointments and things of that day. But he said you've omitted the weightier part of the law, which is judgment, mercy, faith. And these ought you have done and not left the other undone. He didn't say it was wrong to pay the tithing, but he said, you should do that, and you ought to do these, keep the law of judgment, mercy, and faith. Also in Matthew, the fifth chapter, in Christ's own words, When he began his teaching, he started out with what we call the Beatitudes, or the attitude that we should have within us. It should be natural, the natural feelings of our heart. And he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they who are meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Christ was called the meek and the lowly. And this is what it means to be meek and lowly. To seek the kingdom of God first, and to mourn for those who mourn, and to be meek, and to hunger and thirst after righteousness, and to have mercy. What is mercy? Overlooking the faults of others is mercy, for one thing. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. And going on in the fifth chapter, over in the 16th verse, talking to the same people that was there on the Mount of Olives when he started his sermon, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, heaven and earth shall pass one. Till heaven and earth shall pass, one jot and one tittle shall not in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled. Whosoever there shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men also shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called the great in the kingdom of heaven. And I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, and whoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, and reconcile to the brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Going on down to 43rd. 33rd. "And again you have heard that it had been said of old time that thou shalt not forswear thyself, for thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, nor by the throne of God, nor by the earth, for it is the footstool of the is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of a great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not want make one hair white or black. Nor yet, but let your communications be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whosoever say more than these cometh of evil. But let you, ye have heard is that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if a man shall sue thee at the law to take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go with him a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow, turn thou not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and to pray for them that despitefully use you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. If ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans? So be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. In to tie it in with that, we go to the 12th chapter of Romans. And the starting with the 9th verse. Let your love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affected one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, even to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you, bless them and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them who weep. Be the same minded one to another. Mind not high things, be conceited, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of men. Be it if possible, as much as live within you, live peaceable with all men. Dear beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give peace unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt weep coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but to overcome evil with good. And as I read through that, I was reminded of a situation that I came into one time, about 1990, come think about it, when I made a trip with Brother Sheldon to the Netherlands. We spent about a week over there, and I had a chance to have a little service one night with the gathering there in Enschede. But I don't remember now what my sermon was about, but afterwards, Brother Scott's married son said, if someone should, had been in the military himself, and sometimes he couldn't be home and he had to leave, and he said, sometime when I am gone, someone should come into my home and violate my wife. What should I do? Well, what would you do? Well, with these things in mind, I reminded him, if I was there, it would be my duty, my responsibility, and my prerogative to protect her as much as I could. But after the fact, it's not mine. That's vengeance. I would have to turn it over to the authorities to bring about righteousness or judgment. He wouldn't accept that. He said, no, sir, I would go after that person and I would get him. We're told here that vengeance is God's. Whatever our persecution might be, or the wrong we might feel we've been done to us, it says here that we're to overcome evil with good. We're told, I just read, where we're to pray for our enemies and do good for those who despitefully use us. You know, oftentimes I fear that we, in our preaching, we preach generalities and we don't tell you what to do and what not to do. And I hope I've covered some of those things this night. That it's not just that their righteousness should exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Surely that's got to be. But this is how we do it. We have got to put on the whole armor of God to resist the evils of the world and to let love so be within our hearts that we could love our enemies, that we could do good to them, not because of grudgment, but because we're concerned about their soul's welfare. You know, going back to the days of Paul, you know, how he was converted. The Lord struck him down and made him blind, and he was told to go to Ananias to receive a blessing. And when Ananias was told he was coming, he said, "I don't want to see that man because he had done much evil among us." And he was told not to call evil what I have made right. And so it is, we do not know what God's will is, but we cannot, vengeance is not ours. We are to suffer whatever persecution may come our way and seek God's guidance and direction and blessing to overcome and to bear up that burden. But I might end my thoughts tonight with the Mosiah, the second chapter, going back to Messiah again, and the words of King Benjamin. Verse 46. Part of the 44th. And we see that all things are done in the wisdom and the order, and it's not requisite that man should run faster than he has strength. And again, it's expedient that he should be diligent, that thereby he might win the prize. Therefore, all things must be done in order. And I would that you should remember that whosoever among you that borroweth from his neighbor should return that which he borroweth according as he doth agree, or else thou shalt commit sin. And perhaps thou shalt cause thy neighbor to commit sin also. And finally, I will tell you that I cannot tell you all the things whereby ye can commit sin, for there are divers ways and means, even so many that I cannot number them. But this much I can tell you, that if you do not watch yourselves and your thoughts and your words and your deeds, and observe to keep the commandments of God, and continue in the faith of that which ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even to the end of your lives, ye must perish. And now, O man, remember and perish not. And in just another little word here in the Luke, the 12th chapter, and maybe I better read it to you so I don't misquote it. Luke 12 and 22. Well, this is a long reading, and so I'll try to cut it short. Start with 41. And Peter said to them, "Lord, speak thou this parable unto us, or even to all." And the Lord said, "Whosoever then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them portion of meat in due season, blessed is that servant, whom he Lord hath when he cometh to find doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all he hath. But if thy servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat his manservant, his maidservant, and eat and drink, and be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in asunder, and will appoint unto him his portion with his unbelievers. And that servant, which the Lord knoweth his Lord will be prepared not, and prepared not himself, neither did according to the will, and will be beaten with many stripes. But he that knoweth not, and But he that knoweth not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. And for whomsoever much is given, to him shall be much required. And to him that much is committed, much shall be much of him they shall ask the more. Now, I read that, but I don't want you to come up with going back into some of the thoughts that we have been probably taught in our years past, that we might be beaten with a few straps and receive salvation. This is talking about the judgment upon in this life. But it says that we are given so much, the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have no excuse, because more is going to be required of us. If we know a thing, we're not excused from not doing it. And so that's what it's saying. And our judgment and our persecutions or our problems in this life might be upon us because of the judgments of God. That he will try to, he did many times, brings about the consequences of our evils, that we might rejoice in his blessings. And I leave these things with you that you might know that we are living in a blessed time, that this is the Church of Christ, and that as Peter said one time when he was asked if, you know, because of some of his commandments, some of them walk with him no more, and he turned to his disciples and said, "Will you also go away?" And said, "Lord, where shall we go? Where shall we go? Thou hast the words of life." God bless you.